Riptide roll or something. Well, after that, I don't know, just turn anywhere, it's all good. I'm going to give you some stuff, first of all, by way of introduction, and then I'll give you the text and get to the message. Lord willing, I hope he'll use this for his glory and encourage you. I am honored to be able to preach here tonight. I hope the Lord will do something with it. But I was thinking, the Lord laid this thought on my heart back when Brother Dilbert first asked me to be involved with this, and I began to think about words, and are words important, or how important are words? Amen. And in a day's time, it's untelling how many words we speak, but let me get this out of the way, and then I'll get to the message. But words simply, evidently, are important. Christ himself said that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. By thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So evidently words are important. God keeps up with it. I mean, if the hairs of our head are numbered, I'm certain he is keeping up with the words too. And Jesus himself said that in the final day, in the day of judgment, that the words that he had spoken, the same would judge a man. And you got the books open when you get to the final day. So obviously words are important. And I think we take the word of God lightly in the day and time we're living. I think people are interested in other things more than they are reading the Bible and studying it and learning sound doctrine. This church has always stood for sound doctrine, and you'll find that if you don't, you can draw a crowd, you can have a singing and bring in big crowds, and when you start preaching, you see how long they hang around. I mean, truth is, Bible preaching is on its way out, and I want to be one that'll preach the Word regardless, and I pray the Lord will use me to do that. But words, I got thinking about that. We've got a book. Words are communication, and this book is God's words to us. Now, how important is that to you? Does that mean anything to you? I mean, you think about that. God himself wrote a book and gave it to us. That ought to mean something to every one of us. And it ought not be something we lay on the coffee table for a conversation piece. It ought to be part of our life. This is the well of living water. And we ought to approach it just that way. But words, it's a book full of promises. We have God's word on these things. Now, you think about that. I mean, God, who cannot lie, promised some things, and he'll stand good for it. I mean, that's part of his word. I mean, he's the authority. When he came and he spake, the Pharisees said, hey, this man, he doesn't speak like one of the scribes or the Pharisees here. He speaks with authority. And certainly he would. He's God. And so words are evidently important. I mean, words are information. Whatever you're facing in your life, your family, your job, whatever it is, you'll find right here. Whatever you need, it's in this book. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. So the Word of God ought to be our best friend. And you better have the right book, this old King James Bible. I wouldn't have anything else. So words are evidently important. Now, words are powerful. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Wasn't that the truth? They probably ain't anybody in there that had something told on you that wasn't true, and they's probably half the county believed it. Ain't that right? I mean, that's the way you can ruin a man's reputation simply by flapping your jaws. And brother, we got them around these parts. They can sit in the living room and lick a skillet in the kitchen. Amen. Words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Well, they're persuasive. God said he gave the commandment to keep people from the flattering tongue of the strange woman because her steps lead to hell. Boy, ain't that the truth? You want to know how persuasive they are? Just look at this last election and look what got railroaded by the liberal news media right into the White House. Well, I tell you, they're persuasive. Words are destructive. The Bible says a lying tongue and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Well, that's the truth. Words are constructive. The tongue of the wise is health. Ain't anybody here doesn't need a pat on the back once in a while. Somebody come by and encourage them a little. Help them along the way. We all get frustrated every now and then. But we have a responsibility to do that. Well, Words can be comforting. The virtuous woman, the Bible says, in her tongue is the law of kindness. And then words can be prophetic. I'm talking about words. Now, there's a point to all this. You bear with me. I'll get to the message just in a minute. But words can be prophetic. You take Galatians 6. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That is a prophecy. And if you don't believe that, you'll learn it the hard way. Like some of us. But I know it's true. I've lived long enough to see it. Words are life. Jesus Christ Himself said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the Word of God is the most amazing thing in this world, and we take it so lightly nowadays. And I don't know who I'm speaking to. If you're not guilty, just don't worry about it. If your phone ain't ringing, don't try to answer it. Amen? And if the shoe fits, just put it on. If it don't, pass it to the guy behind you. Maybe it'll fit him. But I mean, really, that's the way it works. Words are important, evidently. Now, since Jesus Christ has a name which is above every name, and God has magnified His Word above all of His name, don't you think it's important to Him?
Amen.
Now, let me ask you something. How important to you is it? Have you read it today?
Yeah.
Well, let's just do a little survey here. I'm going to ask some of it like sports. How about stand and quote two verses on sports? Now, don't do that. I wouldn't embarrass nobody, but how many people could do it? How many of y'all raising a family could stand right now and quote two verses on what the Bible says about raising a family? I mean, really. This ain't just a religious book. We're talking about something that's real and supposed to be a part of our life. Words. I mean, how many could do it? How many, as far as your vocation, your job, how many could stand and quote two verses on what the Bible says about it? Boy, I tell you, that's... Now, let's get a little closer. If you're a pastor, could you stand and quote two verses on what the Bible says about being a pastor? Now, I know you fellas could, but you'd be surprised how many people can't. And they just take the Bible for some kind of a religious book, and I don't know what they do with it. But I just did a little survey, and I'll get to the message in a minute. Bobby Utley won't preach more than 2 hours, so... But the model prayer, which they usually refer to as the Lord's Prayer, only has 66 words. Now, the prayer Elijah prayed that brought down the fire only has 63 words. Word. We're talking about words. How important are words? The Declaration of Independence has 1,322 words. Lincoln's Gettysburg Address has 286 words. Government regulations on the sale of cabbage has 26,911 words. Evidently must be important. Talking about words. How important are words? I mean, all the time we say stuff and just don't even think about it. But now God doesn't say anything haphazardly or accidentally. But what He put in this book, He meant to say, and He said it like He meant to say it. And it ain't our business to mess with it. It's our business to believe it. Now, King James Bible has 788,258 words. So God must be thinking these words are important. Now, they ought to be important to you and I. Now, having said all that, now that was the introduction. I'm going to get to the message. Now, before I read the text, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful this time. I thank You for the privilege and opportunity to preach. I pray You'll bless now the Holy Spirit to be our guide, our teacher, our instructor, reprove, rebuke, edify, strengthen whatever's needed. God, thank You for the good meeting we had last night, the good preaching. Lord, what a blessing. I am so encouraged from the good preaching. Lord, I appreciate it. Thank You for speaking to my heart. And I pray now You'll use me to be a mouthpiece for You. Lord, guide my thoughts and my actions. And Lord, You say what needs to be said through me tonight. Guide me through the Scripture. Lift up Jesus Christ, glorify and exalt Him. And Lord, whatever You do, we'll praise You. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, the text tonight is simply Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, that's just 10 words. Just 10 words. Doesn't seem like much. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Doesn't seem like much, does it? But I think I've already shown you briefly that words are important. That God puts a lot of premium on his words. Because really, a man is no better than his word. If I tell you I'm going to do something and I don't do it, you're not going to have much confidence in me. And God, who cannot lie, has said some things, and his words are important to him. I think they ought to be to us. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, it's just 10 words, but I want to say this. First of all, these words display the majesty of God. And majesty is the supreme authority. That's God's majesty. He is the supreme authority. You think about that. Psalm 29 verse 4 says this, "The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty." Boy, isn't that the truth? I remember when I was a kid growing up, if there was a thunderstorm come through, when it would thunder, my mama would always say, the old timers, they'd say, "Shut up, be quiet, the Lord's speaking." Now, I had never read a Bible, but when I read John chapter 12, I came to believe that. I mean, when the Lord spoke from heaven, some folks said it thundered. And some other folks said there was an angel spake. But it was the voice of God speaking from heaven. I think them old timers, they may not have had a lot of education, but they had a lot of sense. And they ain't like this bunch we got today, that somehow or another they're going to solve all the world's problems. And I don't understand it. Their policies and their way of going about doing it. I don't know how you spend your way out of debt. I mean, when you're spending more money than you could print in the next 340 years, it makes no sense to me. But that's nothing to do with the message tonight. These words display the majesty of God. Simon Peter, in writing about his experience up on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John were up there and Christ was transfigured Moses and Elijah appeared there with him, and he appeared in his glory, and they saw that. But I want you to notice what Peter said about this. "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' Amen. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. But notice, we have also a more sure word of prophecy." Now you think about that. What I've got laying in front of me is more sure than being engulfed by a cloud, God speaking, and seeing the things they saw. That's more sure than that. Because I'll tell you, 300 years from now, it'll still say what it says. It'll still say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." It will not change to suit the critics. It won't change to suit the liberals. It don't matter if you like it or not. God said it. And that's how it is. Yes. Amen. You pardon me. I may have to jump over the seat here in a minute. It gets exciting. You get to preaching and, you know, people get to hollering amen. Old Leon Mayo, the guy that ordained me, you say that's like hollering "sick 'em" to a hound dog. Boy, that's the truth. I tell you, it's hard to preach when everybody's sitting around like a bunch of wooden Indians. They go to the ball game and shout like a Comanche Indian and come to church and look like a wooden Indian. Well, I hope nobody looks that way tonight. But these words, they display the majesty of God. God spoke in words. When we open this book, God is speaking. I think we lose sight of that. We just, I got to read 5 chapters today, and we read 5 chapters, and we don't even realize, hey, this is the words of the living God. And He's speaking. He's got something to say. We ought to be listening. "He that hath ears, let him hear." A lot of times we don't have ears. We're not listening. These words display the glory of God. In Psalm 19, if you want to turn there, these words display the glory of God. Now, I may take the shout out of you before this is over, but I plan on preaching until I'm done. Amen. Now, I tell you, I was reading the prodigal son, the parable, and I tell you something that's always blessed me. It was up to the father who got into the house, not the elder brother. Now, that's always blessed me, because there's a lot of folks would turn me out if they had the chance. I'm already in. I'm just good in heaven with the door shut, so you just well love me, bro. If you're going to heaven, we're going to have to get along. Amen, that's right. Well, notice what it says. "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day other speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. I don't know how anybody that ever lived in Appalachia ever drove the Blue Ridge Trail, walked up and down these hills when the leaves have changed and God puts on his palette out there and begins to paint all them colors. Yeah. I don't know how anybody could walk by that and be an atheist. I don't. There's not an artist in the world that could duplicate it. You can take pictures, but you can't duplicate it because that's the handiwork of the living God, our Creator. Hey, when that guy walked out that day and wrote that song, How Great Thou Art, I can relate to that. I can walk through these hills. I can walk up these streams. Hey, I can go by a waterfall and I can just raise my hand and say, thank God, I know the one that made all of this. The heavens declare the glory of God. It's just 10 words. But boy, I tell you, it sure displays the glory of God. Man, well, it'd do you good to get excited. Hey, Mace Jackson, somebody asked him one time if he believed in flying saucers. He said, I'm married, ain't I? Some of you ladies, hey, you do good to raise your hand down here at church once in a while. Not just raise it at home at your husband. Amen. They display the glory of God. Now, according to the Bible, he's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is altogether lovely. Boy, I like that. You pardon me, but I can just about take a running fit every time I read that. He is altogether lovely. I've only seen through the eyes of faith, but one of these days, face to face. Boy, when that happens, there's going to be a whole lot of Baptists get converted that don't believe in shouting. Brother, we'll be kicking up gold dust and we'll shout all over glory. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm going to have me a time. It's coming. Yes, sir. Not only is he altogether lovely, he's the Ancient of Days. He's our advocate. He's the bright and the morning star. He's the captain of our salvation. He's the chiefest among 10,000. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the chief shepherd. He's the day star. He's the door. He's the friend of sinners. Thank God he is. He's the high priest. He's the king of glory. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of saints. He's the king of beauty. He's the king of peace. He's the king of all the earth. He's the king of the Jews. He's the king eternal. He's the king above all gods. He's the king of kings. He's omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, and the Bible says, God Almighty. That's the one I'm talking about tonight. It's just words, though, ain't it? Just words. Well, 1961, I believe it was, Bethlehem Baptist Church in Oneida gave me an old King James Bible. I wasn't saved, but I joined the church. I don't know how all that happened, but it did. But they gave me a King James Bible, and I kept it. I never read it, but I kept it. 1975, I got washed in the blood. I met Jesus Christ personally, and when that happened, I rolled that old King James Bible out, and I began to read it. And I'm telling you, like Jeremiah, it's like a fire shut up in my bones. I couldn't sleep at night. I'd read that thing. I'd sit up at night. I wouldn't even go to bed sometimes. I'd go to the coal mine, work all day, come home, hadn't been to sleep, but I wasn't sleepy. I'd read that Bible some more, and I'd get excited. Boy, and I'd go tackle somebody. And they'd say, well, you got to get baptized to be saved. And I'd, well, I don't know about that. I'd go back and read some more, and I'd go tackle them again. Brother, I didn't know what I was doing, didn't have a clue, but God was just filling me with the Word of God. And the more I got in it, the more it got in me. And I'm telling you, it changed my life. It got me off dope. It got me off the bottle. It put my family back together. Hey, it gave me hope. It gave me a new home. It gave me a new family. It gave me a new future. It gave me new friends. Hey, it gave me something to live for. Amen. And I don't need a bottle of Bud. What don't make you wiser? No, sir. I got the Spirit of the living God in me. That ought to stir you up a little bit. You pardon me. I'm about to get excited. I'm getting ready to preach. You pardon me. I'm getting ready to preach. Not only does it display the majesty of God and the glory of God, it displays the fingerprints of God. Now, I tell you, I love it. There's so many atheists and agnostics running around these countries. The truth is, most of the infidels nowadays are in the pulpit. Well, you'd be surprised how many people don't believe in the resurrection that stand behind the pulpit every day. Don't even believe Christ got up from the dead. Why, God help us. Isaiah chapter 45 says this, "Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. Command ye me. I have made the earth, created man upon it. I even my hands have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else." Well, this world has the fingerprints of God all over it. He's the life giver. He's the creator. You can't put God in a test tube. They're running up there now to the moon and Jupiter and everywhere else, and they're just going to try to make a liar out of Moses. That's what it's all about. They're trying to find some way to get around Genesis and what Moses had to say about it. But I'm telling you, God said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's good enough for me, but that's not the end of it. They display the very fingerprints of God in one fell swoop. He slaps down atheism, agnosticism, Brahmaism, pantheism, Darwinism, and all the other isms they are. But these monkey men can go jump in the lake. I'll tell you what will happen. When I die, I'll go where the saved sinners go. And when you die, you go where the good monkeys go. Amen. That's right. I look back through my family tree and some of my relatives hung by their neck, but none of them hung by their tail. Amen. I didn't come from no monkey. No, sir. I knew my mom and dad. Neither one of them were monkeys. You mean you go down to the zoo? Here, mama, I brought you a banana. Why, baloney. This bunch of idiots we got, educated idiots. They're educated beyond their intelligence. We didn't come from a monkey. Ain't nobody here. 6,000 years of human history, there's not one case of a monkey giving birth to a human or vice versa. Come from a monkey. My foot. The Bible says the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Hey, we are accountable to our Creator. You got the same 14 chemical elements in your body that's in the ground. You eat something come from the ground to stay alive, and when you die, you go back to dust, just like the book says. And it's not any different. And if somebody over here at UT don't believe that, that's tough apples. Amen. They can stick their head in a bucket of water 3 times and pull it out twice. Amen. Make the world a better place. But the fact is, we did not come from a monkey. Once I was a tadpole when I began to begin. Then I was a frog with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey in a banyan tree. Now I'm a doctor with a PhD. Went from puddle to paradise. That's Darwin's nightmare. That ain't really what happened, but that's what he tried to perpetrate on the human race. Well, I'm glad I didn't have a monkey for a mother. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, I had an old-fashioned mama. I'm number 10. Mama had 5 boys and 5 girls. We was dirt poor. I was a teenager before we even had a TV. We didn't know what a TV was. All we done was get out and play, and we run the hills, and we worked, and we done things. Today, they got carpal tunnel from playing these stupid games. They don't know how to get out and run the woods and play fox and dog and go to stir-offs and grind that sugar cane. I'm telling you, they don't know what real living's all about. And my mama may have been poor, but she wasn't stupid. She didn't have an education, but she was saved. I'm telling you, she'd open that old black back King James Bible, and she'd call her kids around and gather them up. And I didn't know what was going on. I was just a little fella. But I remember my mom would start reading that old book, tears streaming down her face, and that thing, boy, I tell you, I'd sit there and I didn't understand it, but I said, that book is important. My mama loves that book, and that thing is important to me. It ought to be important to your kid. When you see dad crying and mom weeping from that book, it ought to mean something to you. You ought to love it. You ought to memorize it. You ought to live by it. If you have to, you ought to die by it. Amen. And you may have to. Very well may have to. I'm glad I had a mama that had an old black book. That old King James Bible's brought salvation to many. Boy, I tell you, the preaching of the word, them old-fashioned preachers would come out of the field in their overalls, and a lot of them didn't have much education, but they got a hold of God. But they'd go in the pulpit and they'd preach, and by the power would come down. And they may have not known one dispensation from another, but they was folks got saved. Well, I'm for it. I mean, we got all the education and all the means. You can get on the internet and find anything under the sun, whether you want it or not. I don't fool with that thing. I don't. I don't even know how to get on the internet. It scares me. I told the guy at work, he said, you're going to have to get on the computer. I said, ain't no way. Forget that. Man, get one of them websites and he can't get out. Boy, he'd be hung. Forget that. I don't have a cell phone and I don't want one. I couldn't hear it if I had it. But truth is, we didn't come from Milwaukee. People think they did. I don't understand. They lost their mind. The old black back book, it brought salvation to many. You're born again by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Boy, isn't that something? The Word of God will do the job. We preach in the street. Boy, I tell you, it works. You see the Holy Spirit begin to convict people and deal with them. Some of them get mad and some of them get glad. But boy, I tell you, they get something. It affects them. They can't help themselves. The Word of God will do the job. That old black back book, it'll do it. It brought salvation to many. It's brought correction and restoration to many. And many a wayward soul that got right, somebody took a book and lined them out. But I tell you, it works. This book is, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And I believe that works. I believe it works. I am not the product of amoebas, nor sod, nor a shuttle threaded in the loom of fate, but a born-again son of the living God with eternity for my vast estate. I am not an accident of a cosmic night, nor a thing of chance that turned into man, but a deathless soul with upward flight in the will of my Father's perfect plan. Amen. This book displays the very fingerprints of God. He's all over it. You can't read it and not know there's a God. That's all there is to it. Brother, he'll bear witness to it because he wrote it. Well, I'm going to hurry on. We did not have a monkey for a mother. We don't have a myth for a Bible. I'm not looking for some original somewhere. I've got the Word and the words of God. I've got it in my hand. One other thing I'm thankful for, I'm glad I don't have a mummy for a Savior. I'm glad I don't have to go over to some tomb somewhere where they got the bag of bones like Buddha.
Yeah.
No, sir. You can be a good Buddhist with him in the ground. You can be a good raghead with a follower of Muhammad with him in the hole in the ground. You don't have to have him around. You can be a good Catholic with the Pope dead and buried. Hey, that's a fact. But I'm going to tell you something. You can't be a Christian if they ever found a fingernail of Jesus Christ. Well, the best news this world ever got came from a graveyard. When they went to seek the body of Jesus Christ and the announcement was made, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but he's risen, as he said. And he got up, and he's alive, and he lives forevermore. Amen, and I know him. Thank God it's personal. I'm glad it is. I'm glad that the power that Moody and Sunday and Spurgeon and them guys had. I'm glad the power Peter, James, and John had. I'm glad it wasn't just exclusive to them. I'm glad, thank God, the same Holy Spirit lives in us. And brother, we can get something done for God regardless of the circumstances. It's up to us to do it. Hey, God, we got everything we need to do it. It's a matter of getting it done. Well, I want to say, these words display the heart of God. Now, he said he made the earth to be inhabited. I believe that's so. I believe what God started all the way back there in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, I believe one of these days he's going to finish it.
Amen.
Yes, sir, I believe it. I believe he's going to move right on up. That's another message for another day. But notice, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. God created man and put him upon the earth. He intended the earth to be inhabited. That's why he created all this. Actually, you read in Genesis chapter 1, it's really a recreation. But God put man here for a purpose. And this displays the very heart of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He intends to fellowship with his creation, with his creature. God wants to fellowship with us. And that's something. God Almighty, the Almighty God, the Creator, wants to fellowship with us. Boy, we miss out when we don't have time for him. We really miss out. But this displays the very heart of God. You know, something I had never noticed, but Adam, before the fall, had a job to do. God put him over in that garden and told him to keep it and dress it. I mean, really. God had a job for him to do. He wasn't just going to sit around on a cloud and play a harp or something like that. God had something for him to do. So I believe that God is interested in folks being busy. I mean, when it comes to the Word of God, I believe we ought to be students. And we ought to do our best to learn what we can with the Holy Ghost instructing us and get everything we can get from it. We get so tied down. We're living in a day when we got more time-saving devices than we've ever had and got less time. I mean, really, my mama, she didn't have no washing machine. There was a big black kettle out in the backyard, and we'd build a fire under it and boil water, and she'd take a scrub board and homemade soap and wash clothes. You do that for 10 kids, I'm telling you, it's a lot of work now. Had a wood cook stove in the kitchen. We'd cook on it. But I'm telling you, they was just a lot of work, but they always had time to pray. They always had time to go to meeting. They always had time to read the book. They always had time for God. We're living in a day when we got everything in the world and we don't have time for nothing. It's a sign. But I believe that somewhere we've got this thing backwards. Well, it displays the heart of God. These words are important. Somebody has said God's glory is how we describe the sum effect of all of His attributes. Grace, truth, goodness, love, mercy, justice, knowledge, power, eternality, all of that He is. His glory is intrinsic. That is, it's essential to God. You don't make the sun light, it is light. You don't make water wet or the sky blue, it's intrinsic. Man's glory is granted to him by God. A king only has glory when he wears his robe and crown. If you take it away, you can't tell him from any other beggar on the street. He has no intrinsic glory. God's glory is His essence. You cannot de-glorify God. Boy, ain't that the truth? It's His very nature. You can't touch His glory. It cannot be taken away nor added to. It is His very being. Boy, ain't that the truth? God's glory. Now, I'm going to tell you, once in a while, it'll do you good to just raise your hand and say, glory to God. Thank God. But I was working over here in Clinton, and I'd start over early in the morning, and I'd get to listening to somebody on the radio, Oliver Green or Mays Jackson or one of them guys that come on and start preaching. But I tell you, I've pulled my truck off the side of the road, and I was out just running around my truck shouting, having me a time. And I know people driving by probably thought I was drunk or something, but I thought, oh, well, these be full of new wine. Do thyself no harm. We're all here. It'd do you good just have a fit one time over something like that. I mean, really, we go to the ball game and scream and shout, and I ain't saying that's bad. If I go, I get excited about it. I mean, I got my favorite teams, Roll Tide. I like to see them win. I get excited about it. And Lane Muffin, he's on the, well, done quit preaching and gone to meddling, so... God's glory. I mean, these 10 words, it's just 10 words. Doesn't seem like much, does it? Displays the majesty of God, the glory of God, the fingerprints of God, the heart of God. Evidently, they're pretty important. According to 2 Peter chapter 3, this very world we're living in is held in store by the Word of God. So I'd say it's pretty important. Well, now that's just the first point. I've got a couple more to go and I'll be done. Not only are these 10 words all of that, they display the very power of God in creation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, I don't know about you, I don't understand it, but it's pretty amazing to me that God could do what He's done simply by speaking it into existence. I mean, this world came into existence supernaturally from nothing. That's why they'll never put God in a test tube. You cannot check things out because you got to have something to work with. I mean, what you got's already here. That's the first law of thermodynamics. I mean, the very scientific law they claim to believe proves evolution cannot possibly be true. And what God did, He brought it into being supernaturally from nothing. And that'll never happen. I mean, they cannot possibly do that. But Job was having a problem. And he began to complain and growl, and he wanted a meeting with God, so he got it. The Bible says, the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I'll demand of thee. Answer thou me, Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, or if thou knowest? Who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Why, Job said, I pray thee have me excused. Amen. Hey, we do that. We get down the mouth, get griping, grow, well, you know, God's not doing me right. And then, whoa, the Lord shows up. Give you a change of attitude. It displays the very power of God in creation. I mean, for God to create it. There's a verse in Genesis chapter 1. It's verse 16. I'll read that quickly and move on. But it said God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. Notice he made the stars also. He don't say much about it. He just made the stars also. And I was reading back in 2007, scientists estimate, and they don't know, they're just guessing, but they estimate that there are 10 octillion stars in the known universe. That's 10 to the 27th power. That is 10 with 27 zeros after it. There are not even that many electrons in the known universe. They're estimating that many stars. Now, that's a guess, obviously. The Bible says, God, he telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Now, that's the God we serve. He knows your name and he knows your address too. Yep. May not nobody else know it, but God knows it. Yeah. And we get to worrying sometimes, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Wringing our hands. And I'm telling you, God knows your name and God knows your address. And if he's worried about it, then why are you worried about it? Yeah. Amen. Amen. I mean, I know we're flesh and blood and we tend to have a tendency to do that. But God is still on the throne. Yes. Well, he has the power to destroy when it comes to planets. I mean, 2 Peter 3 says this earth, it's going to melt with a fervent heat. But it's going to burn. All this asphalt out here, that'll help it along. Boy, I mean, we'll have us a fire. It's going to melt. But he also has the power to destroy nations. The wicked shall be turned into hell with all the nations that forget God. But it goes beyond that. He's got the power to destroy individuals. We're told not to fear him that can only destroy your body, and that after that he can't do anything else. But we better fear him that can destroy both soul and body in hell. That's the one you better worry about. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So God has all power in heaven and earth. These 10 words display the power of God to recreate. I mean, you get in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I mean, we have hope. We are not like the world. And the writer in 1 Thessalonians said, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. The Lord's going to shout one of these days. And he's going to descend with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be changed and caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, I tell you, that day's coming. M.R. DeHaan had put on his tombstone, perhaps today. Well, I hope it is. I hope it's today. I'm ready to fly, brother. I don't need to go back home. I'm ready. I'm leaving this mess behind. I've got a lot of friends and a lot of family on the other side, and I'm ready to move. We'll move on upstairs, but we'll kick up gold dust and have us a time. One of these country singers, somebody out at work was telling me not long ago, said he had a song out, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Evidently, a big hit. Well, misery loves company. and that's the world's idea. Oh, yeah, we want to go to heaven. We just don't want to die, you know. But their idea of heaven is something else altogether. Well, we better make sure we're trusting the right one, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the power of God. You read over in Romans chapter 1, there's only three times in the Scripture the Godhead is mentioned. But God's idea of the Trinity is the Godhead. You read in Colossians chapter 2 where he said Jesus Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Amen. There's one God manifest in three persons. You and I, there's three parts to every one of us. That's how we were created in his image. You got a body, a soul, and a spirit. and the spirit in you is dead, do you get saved? And when you get saved, God performs the new birth on you, puts His spirit within you. Yeah. And boy, I tell you, you're a new creature in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He makes something different out of you. I'm telling you, it works. I've tried it. It's not secondhand information. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Boy, that's good. You pardon me, but about right now would be a good time just everybody take a running fit and shout a while. It's good to be saved. And thank God it's real. The words of God. Just 10 words. Don't seem like much. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, I'm about done. Somebody out one day, we was preaching in the street, and somebody said, you Christians are all brainwashed. Somebody else answered them and said, we choose what we wash our brains with. Amen. Amen. That's the truth. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's what we wash our brains with. Well, according to this Bible, these words display the very wisdom of God. In Proverbs chapter 3, the Bible says this, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath He established the heavens. It displays the wisdom of God. By faith we see how these worlds were created by the Word of God. Hebrews 11:3. I mean, God said it and it came into being. Now that's pretty good. If God says a thing, it's the same as to produce it. You got a book full of promises? Do you even know what they are? I mean, really. Romans 15:4. I mean, it's through patience and comfort of the Scriptures that we might have hope. I mean, this book, boy, I tell you, it'll get the job done. It ought to be your best friend. This wisdom is ours for the asking according to the Bible. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any man among you, if he lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. I mean, God wants you to be wise.
Amen.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. That's in the book.
Amen.
You won't even know what sin is apart from the Word of God.
Right,
David said, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against Thee. If you don't know what the Bible says, you don't even know what's right or what's wrong.
Amen.
This is the absolute standard right here.
Amen.
Now, it's just words. Just words. You hear them all the time. You see them all the time. I mean, they got closed captioning on TV. That's what I use. It's kind of uncomfortable. You're trying to read, and you're reading down here, and they're down a mile ahead of what you know. You know what's going on. Just forget it. After a while, you're like, what the heck's watching this stuff anyhow? I'm glad you don't have to do that when the football game's on. The power of God. His wisdom is unsearchable, according to this book. Unsearchable. Now, I've got one other thing to say, and I'm done. I hope I've been an encouragement to you.
Amen.
Notice, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created.
Yes.
We were created for God's glory.
Yes,
are you glorifying Him? The way you talk, the way you walk, the way you live, the way you dress, your speech, words. I don't know. I have no idea, but you know. We ought to be glorifying Him. After all, He was willing to walk up to the old rugged cross,
Amen.
Bearing our sin in His body on the tree. And He died there and gave Himself for you and I that we might have life. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What a thing. Father, thank You again for this time. Lord, I thank You for the privilege and opportunity to preach, and I just pray now the Holy Spirit will speak to hearts. Lord, I pray You'll encourage and You'll strengthen. Should there be one here tonight lost, I pray You'll show them their need of salvation this night. God, before it's everlasting too late, don't have any let any rest or peace till they settle this matter with Thee. God, I thank You again for Jesus Christ. Thank You that He died and rose again. Lord, I thank You that I know You personally. Thank You for saving me and calling me to preach and, Lord, giving me something to do. I'm glad You did, Lord. I'm glad I have the opportunity to serve You, especially in these day and hour we're living. God, it's an exciting time. We have an opportunity now to do something for You when it really might cost us something. And I pray, God, You'll help us to stand. Give us strength. Fill us with the Holy Spirit that we can stand for the truth and glorify you. God, help us. Give us a burden for souls. Give us a desire to be a witness for you, to live for you, to honor you. Thank you now again for your many blessings. Lord, I pray now you'll go with us in the rest of the service. Lord, for your glory, I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.